spend tonight to Acts, I mean not Acts, but Luke, rather, the fourth chapter. Luke, the fourth chapter. Amen. Luke chapter 4, and we're going to read God's precious word tonight. The Bible said in Luke chapter 4, verse 16, and when Jesus came to Nazareth, where he had been brought up, and as his custom was, that's very significant, he went into the synagogue on the Sabbath day and stood up for to read. And there was delivered unto him the book of the prophet Isaiah. And when he had opened the book, he found the place where it was written, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me." The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he hath anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He hath sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to preach deliverance to the captives and recovering of sight to the blind, to set at liberty them that are bruised, and to preach the acceptable year of the Lord. And I wrote right after that verse, now. The acceptable time of God, for his word is now. And he closed the book and he gave it again to the minister and sat down. And the eyes of all them that were in the synagogue were fastened on him. And he began to say unto them, "This day is this scripture fulfilled in your ears." The latter part of the next verse, they said, "Is not this Joseph's son?" They missed the whole point. He's that carpenter's boy. He's that carpenter's boy. Not realizing that the one who said, "Let there be," and there was in their midst. The anointing is something that is so precious. I think there's certain moments when you understand that more than at any other time, when we begin to have breakthroughs on Berry Street, and we saw the youth, the move of God among the youth. And then the youth came to me and said, "We want to go to the boys and girls before they get messed up like we got messed up." And, you know, with drugs and, you know, the hippie culture way of life and whatever that entails. And so we, by the grace of God, launched out into the bus ministry at that time. And you've heard our story of the beginnings, how we had that old bus that sat out front and bought it and didn't know what to do with it. And then God showed us what to do with it, and we did it. And at one time we were running, I don't know, was it 12, 13 buses out of that property. Quickest way to go to heaven, step off the curb at Willing and Berry Street. Because some of those buses didn't have very good brakes. We sent them out in faith, believing. I don't think I'd ever do that again, but we did that. But I remember going to Hammond, Indiana, and one of the most powerful preachers I've ever heard in my life is Dr. Jack Hiles. Dr. Jack Hiles and Jerry Falwell were two, I mean, they were before the, quote, mega church trend, mega. And they each had literally the largest Sunday schools in the world. And they'd call each other every Sunday. And I mean, they would, there was a gospel competitiveness there. But I remember in hearing Dr. Hiles preach, we went to learn about bus ministry and outreach. They didn't teach us anything about the Holy Spirit there at First Baptist in Hammond. They're good people, but I didn't go for that. We went to find out how to do things that we didn't know what to do, and we learned a lot. We came home and employed a lot of that and reached more souls for Jesus. But the thing that I remember about Dr. Hiles, powerful preacher. That man could preach, and you wanted to build something or tear it down. You wanted to, you know, build something or burn it down. Or, you know, when he got through preaching, you wanted to do something. And I like that kind of preaching. It makes you want to do something. And man, you're just, my motor's all revved up. And I'll tell you, they could get you as high and then cut it off. And I'm standing there. And they're great people. They did a great work for God. He's gone on to be with the Lord. And they were trendsetters. I mean, God bless them. They helped us and blessed us as far as they could take it. But you see, they did not understand what to do with the anointing of the Holy Spirit. And that doesn't mean that we're super spiritual either, but I think we have greater insight on what to do with the Holy Spirit. Amen. Every service is not the same. Every service is not everything any of us would like. I mean, you know, some services are not what all of us would like to see. And my gracious, Calvary Cathedral has seen their share of God doing awesome things. But there's one thing that is very sacred in my heart, and that's called the anointing of the Holy Spirit. It's God's touch, God's blessing upon your life that makes the difference. In the Old Testament, we find the examples of when they were so outnumbered and there was no way, and it just seemed utterly impossible that they could exist or go forward or do anything of that nature. And God would supernaturally help them to win over the power of the enemy. I think of Samson. Samson did not do what he did because he worked out at the gym, the local LA Fitness or whatever. That wasn't it. There was a supernatural strength. You can't do what... I've seen some supernatural feats among these power team and people like that. But Samson, I mean, literally slew 1,000 people. Now, while you're slaying one, what's the other 999 going to be up to? You think that's easy? I mean, do you understand? It was, he slew the whole crowd. And what army is going to stand there while you pick their buddies off? They're going to surround you and come after you with vengeance. But there was some, I don't know if he was the original weed eater with a bone. But they couldn't take him down. You could not take Samson down until he got into sin and violated his conscience and gave his God-given secrets away. It's interesting, isn't it? I mean, he could slay, I mean, you know, 1,000 people is a lot of people. That's a lot of people for one man. Praise God. And then he'd pick up the gates of the city, one on one shoulder, one on the other. Strong shoulders. And he didn't just move them, he walked up to the top of the hill. I mean, this man's feet of strength were just mind-boggling. Nothing could stop him but sin. Nothing could stop him but sin. The hand of God was upon him. And the anointing of God was with him. And, you know, you just go to Elisha and Elijah and Moses and Joshua, and you look at all the things that these people did. And in the Old Testament, it was the supernatural, divine enabling of God that helped them to do it. And church today, there's a challenge. There's something, some days I feel like I'm trying to give birth to an elephant. We've got to have spiritual revival in this nation. And it's, you know, I've lived, if I knew the button to push tonight, I'd push it. I'd stand on it. And in 93, you know, you think, well, is it this or is it that? God Almighty sent something that you could give me $1 million to renounce it. I could not renounce it. I saw the supernatural of God in the church that I had pastored for a number of years. And though we had seen great things, we saw people coming in drawn by the power of the Holy Spirit. Amen. And we saw lives changed, and we saw the miracles that God wrought. And we saw people take vacations and take sick leave so they could come and stay healthy and vacations and do the things of God. We saw God do that. Things that only God can do as a pastor, there are things around a church that only God can do. Only God can do. And my heart cry is, God, do it again. Now, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me, Jesus said, because he hath anointed me, anointed preaching to preach the gospel. Oh, there's an anointing of God to preach the gospel and to preach the gospel to the poor. And really, as I studied this out some time ago, it's anyone that's having economic difficulty. Well, there's a lot of people encountering recession problems And there's still millions of people that are unemployed in our nation. I would say they have a financial problem, wouldn't you? I mean, there's a financial problem there. They need a job. And either that or they're in an entry-level job and they don't make enough money to pay their bills and exist. He's anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. What's the message that a man that's encountering financial difficulty needs to hear? Is that my God supplies all you need. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted. So many people brokenhearted, broken lives, broken marriages, bankruptcy, all kinds of tragedy, people dying before their time and accidents. There's a lot of things that break the heart. And really this brokenhearted is really what happens when you have a full-blown heart attack. Your heart just can't function except for a miracle of God or some medical help. I mean, from the thing that it comes from, if God doesn't help you, you're history. You're history. But I'll tell you, He's the healer of broken hearts. I said He's the healer of broken hearts. To preach deliverance to the captives, sin captivates. Sin captivates. And I've said so often that I believe drugs is the end time, one of the end time curses of hell that has been released in this generation. Everywhere you look, drugs, drugs, little handful, little spoonful, just the drug dealer on the corner, you know, there's all kinds and forms and levels of drugs. I don't know, you know, I wasn't in that way of life, but I know it happens. I see people dealing drugs out in my neighborhood. I mean, I know what's happening. I see it. I saw it down at the cafeteria the other day. Strange cars driving around and people coming out and the hand comes out when the whole car's blackened. You know, you're not supposed to do that, but, you know, a little hand to this. And you see poor people exchanging some. I see that every once in a while. Folks, that's the world we live in. But I'll tell you, the power of the gospel of Jesus Christ will break the back. You know, every time you burn up a drug thing in Columbia or wherever you burn it up, they just sprout up somewhere else. But it's the power of the gospel of Christ that can, and only the power of, I thank God for law enforcement, thank God for all deterrence, but I'm telling you, a mighty revival of God will knock that drug thing in the head. It will, because there's no high like the Most High. There's no high like the Holy Ghost. Hallelujah. Save a lot of money. Praise God. To preach deliverance to the captives. Whatever captivates people. Whatever captivates people. And recovering of sight to the blind. Who is so blind as those who have eyes who cannot see? Are you listening to me? This is not just the man on the street corner with the red spot on the end of his cane or with a seeing eye. No. The church today, so much of the church is blind. I don't mean just this church, but all churches. There's a spiritual blindness. There's a spiritual deafness. I'm not going to stay there, but I'm telling you, in your prayers, cry out, God, send revival. God, send a mighty moving of your spirit. Amen. Send whatever it takes to wake up this generation that what the world needs is Jesus. Oh, my God, recovering of sight to the blind. Open people's eyes that they can really see. People are deceived. People are blind in the world in which we live. Not all, but too many. And to set at liberty them that are bruised. You know, you've heard me say it, but it's something that God just opened my eyes to. You know, a bruise is one of the most difficult things to deal with. You know, a clean wound will heal. A clean wound will heal. When you get wounded, first thing they want to do is get the infection, you know, out and put something on it that'll accelerate healing in your body. But you know, when you have a bruise, it just seems like you bump it every time you turn around. A bruise just keeps on being bruised. And you know, when Satan gets you all frustrated about something, gets you strung out, and I'm going to tell you, even in church people, a spirit of offense is worse than drugs and alcohol. And the spirit of taking up somebody else's offense is worse than drugs and alcohol. You say, Pastor, what? Do you know what you're? Yeah, I know what I'm talking about, and I wouldn't stutter. I'm telling you, what God's will is for every believer to be free free in our minds, free in our emotions, free! Free from the slavery of sin, free from the chains and the shackles of sin. Oh, set us free, O God. Set us free, those that are bound, to set at liberty them that are bruised. And when is God able to do that? You know, God's doing business tonight. God does business not only on Sunday night, but on Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, and Friday. God does business all week long. He's not just a Sunday morning God. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. And then as I look back over to Mark, going back to Mark, the 16th chapter here, and let's look at verse 15, Mark 16, 15. And he said unto them, go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. Now, I'm going to sound like a pastor, but that's what I have been for a long time. But the go ye, I mean, you know, I was telling someone, you know, a year or two ago, I said, now look, know what you're doing when you tell somebody to get out of here and go somewhere. Most people need to stay steady and win souls and bring them in. Win and bring them in. That's the way you build churches. Everybody wants to go somewhere and do something. I mean, go is, you know, young people, they got go in their heels. But go into all the world. You say, well, that's what it said. I know that's what it said. But, you know, every time you put tithe and offerings in this church, you're literally going into the uttermost parts of the world. Now, that's not all you do, and God does call people and sends people out. I don't deny that one bit. I was just looking at Gary and Minshew Everett when they were here thinking, what an awesome thing that when we so desperately needed a manager for our television station in Kampala, Uganda, Brother Dale Gentry, God spoke to his heart. And he said, what about Gary? What about Gary? Well, we didn't know that much about Gary, but we found out that Gary had a master's degree. Not that that tells you everything, but he had a master's degree in missions from Southwestern Baptist Theological Seminary and had pastored a Baptist church until he received the baptism of the Holy Spirit and spoke with other tongues. Then he got the left foot of fellowship. And then he was overeducated, as so many of our population is today, because they can't get a job, go back to school. And he was overeducated, and then he had to work on he didn't have to, but thank God he was honorable. He worked on a garbage truck for 2 years. It's one of the reasons I respect that man so much. He was willing to do what he had to do to get to do now what he was trained to do. I mean, we all want to start off where Reinhard Bonnke has arrived today. We all want to speak to a million or 2 or 3 million people. We all want to do what Oral Roberts did or what Billy Graham has done in years gone by. But you know where you start out being a Billy Graham, Oral Roberts, or Reinhard Bonnke? You are faithful where you are to what God's called you to do. And I'm going to tell you something. There'll be people that will stand before God and say, well, I was just an usher in Calvary Cathedral. And God's going to say, oh, you're in the real blessing file. All I did was take care of the babies in the nursery. Yeah, but you enabled somebody to enjoy the service and be blessed by the Word of God. Well, all you did was work in children's church. But, oh, you know, Jesus was crazy about, when I say crazy, you understand what I'm saying? He was crazy about kids. Jesus loved children. And they had to form committees to keep children off his knee, they thought. And Jesus said, suffer the little children to come unto me, for if such is the kingdom of God. It's a big deal with God to love kids. Appreciate Nicole. She's telling me on the platform. I said, I appreciate you, Pastor. I said, I appreciate what you and all the teachers are doing in our school. Any teacher, I appreciate you. But you know, our school has made a difference in so many lives. And the problems we have in Washington and across America are people who have not had a Christian worldview taught to them. All they know is the world of condoms or God knows whatever else. But oh, thank God, we're teaching character and we're teaching integrity. And sad to say that even in some Christian homes, the only solid teaching they're going to get is in Calvary Christian Academy. I mean, everybody, all they do is lay around, watch television, and play with their gadgets and do whatever. I mean, we've got to get the Word of God into young people's lives. Oh, Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. I'm not mad at anybody. I'm just ticked with the devil. Go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. Well, you can't do that single-handedly, and I can't do that single-handedly. But together, we can reach our share of this generation. Together, we can do it. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. No matter what the handle or the denomination or, you know, who are you, where did you come from? Shall be saved. And he that believeth shall not be damned. Hell's a real place. I know we're in a generation that wants to do away with hell, but Jesus taught us probably as much about hell, more about hell than anyone. Hell's hot. Hell's eternal. Hell is suffering. Hell is pain. Hell's filled with regret. And those in hell don't want any fellowship. They don't want their loved ones to come. They've been there. They know what it is. There's no way out. It's a one-way street. Sin's not fun. Amen. Oh, shall... He that believeth not shall be done. And these signs shall follow them that believe in my name, shall they cast out devils. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I said, in my name, they shall cast out devils. How long has it been since you cast out a devil? Amen. I'm serious. We all encounter this a lot more than we realize. The Bible went on to say they'll speak with new tongues. You know, in charismatic churches, it's getting hard to find some folks to speak with tongues or new tongues or old tongues. They shall take up serpents by accident. You don't go out and handle snakes. The full gospel is not based on handling snakes. The news media makes light and fun of that. No, we're not of those. And if they drink deadly things, we don't tempt the Lord God. We don't go out and drink something poison to prove something. But the Bible said if this happens, I know it didn't say accidentally, but I'm saying that because this is what it means. It shall not hurt them. And I could bring stories. I don't have all the stories in the world, but there are missionaries that have been given enough poison out in the jungle or out trying to minister to people, enough poison to kill a whole tribe, and it didn't faze them, and the whole tribe turned their heart to Jesus. See, they drank it accidentally, but God save their life and the tribe on purpose. Praise God. He said, they shall lay hands on the sick and they shall recover. When's the last time someone on the job said, oh, I've got this migraine headache. Could I pray for you? You know how you minister to people? Meet them at the point of their need. I mean, what just came out of their mouth? Oh, I'm having trouble with my husband, or I'm having trouble with my wife, our children or our grandchildren. Oh, we're having fun. Oh, could I pray with you? You know, when somebody's really hurting, they'll let you pray for them. They figure that's, at least that's safe. Very few people, very, very few people would resist that. Some might, but most won't. And so after the Lord had spoken unto them, he was received up into heaven and sat on the right hand of God. And they went forth, and they went forth and preached everywhere, all over the Metroplex. This morning, we had Eric was watching streaming from Afghanistan, right? And I know one guy wasn't watching it without some of his buddies around. You know, it's amazing. You don't know where this auditorium is going tonight. I don't know where all this auditorium is going tonight. But He let you sent the message to me this morning that Eric was watching. He's over there and God's with him. They went forth, preached everywhere. The Lord working with them and confirming the word with signs following. You know, this is such an amazing thing. The Bible said over in Isaiah 10:27, the yoke shall be destroyed. The yoke shall be destroyed because of the anointing. Amen. Because of the anointing. Folks, do you realize that the full gospel is not just a dial a doctrine type of thing? This is of God. It was the Lord that said, go and tarry until you be endued with power from on high. 500 heard it. The ratio is about the same. 120 did it. It's like Mark chapter 4. One out of four did what the Word of God said to do. One out of four soils received the Word of God. But oh, that one soil can touch the world. Hallelujah. The anointing shall break the yoke. I'm here to tell you that those of you that have received the powerful baptism of the Holy Spirit, that resident within you is the Holy Ghost of God, the third person of the Trinity, lives within you. Now, you may not utilize all the power that is in you, but every one of you, ye shall receive power after the Holy Ghost has come upon you. And with that power comes a compassion to help people, to love people, to pray for people in their time of need, to pray for families, to pray for marriages. Whenever someone says, I'm hurting, rise to the occasion and say, could I pray for you? And I'll guarantee you 9 out of 10 will say yes. Probably 19 out of 20 would say yes. Because when you're hurting bad enough, you want some relief and you want someone to help you. And so I said tonight, I just believe with all of my heart, God wants us to stir up the anointing of God. Stir up the anointing of God. You know, this is in so many areas. Thank God we know that God is a healer. Amen. And I was just, I thought about it. I feel like the Lord directed my attention. I'm looking at the Hall brothers tonight. And you know, God used them to release a spirit of giving in this church. They used to try to beat each other to the altar to give in the offering. That's right. David and Brother John, they were funny. I mean, they were serious. Of course, John was bigger than he was, so he'd kind of take the lead in it. But I mean, I've seen them leap up and come forward just to put money in the offering. Amen. You know why? It wasn't a show. I mean, there was just something cooking inside of them. There was something cooking. And Brother John, I've watched God bring you through, bring you through, bring you through, bring you through. So many years, so many guys that you've sung with, so many groups that you've been with, they've fallen by the wayside, but you're still standing. When others fall, God has enabled you to stand because you've made right choices. And God's given you a good companion, hallelujah, to stand and hold up your hands. We're praying for you, Brother Dave. We're praying for both of you. God bless you. I know his health has been challenged, but we're going to pray for Brother David tonight in the name of Jesus. I want to tell you, I was just thinking how you challenged my heart as a pastor. I mean, it's rare in a church find people racing to the altar to give. Now, that's unusual, you know. Amen. But you bless my heart. And I just look around and think of all the things that God's done. You know, I look at Brother Steve and I find out that less is more. Less is better. Brother Steve proves, is it 150 pounds? Do you understand that's almost equivalent to the crossing of the Red Sea? Amen. We had a brother in the church years ago. He told me, he said, I've tried that Metrical to lose weight. And he said, you know, I faithfully drink 1 or 2 cans after every meal, but it's not working. Do they still have Metrical on the market? No. Yeah. But brother, I salute you. You prove it can be done. Hallelujah. Thank you. It can be done. I don't know what sparked it in you, but something sparked it in you. Praise God. And I just look around this room and I think of how God turned Robert White's life around. I remember you in that revival, brother. You came forward and you blessed my heart because you had bondages in your life. But you came forward, you were open, you were honest, and God set you free. And look at all the years now that God has used Robert and Pam. Use them for the glory of God. I remember the night you came forward. Oh, and God honored that. Praise be unto God. Hallelujah. I look at Tony Haygood, who came from Florida. He's an only child. And tonight he has a wife and 7 children. The blessings of the Lord maketh rich and addeth no sorrow. May lose a little sleep, but they addeth no sorrow. Praise God. Here's an only child that came here And God brought him to our Bible school. God brought him to this church. And now all these years, what a blessing. God only knows the people that have come to Jesus through the, we're beginning to get some of the strongest new fruit in our radio ministry. For a while, it was touch and go after the station sold in Dallas. But you see, your work, your labor is not in vain in the Lord. Your labor is more than machines and mechanics and electronics and whatever. Oh, and I say to our sound people through the streaming, you don't know where all these service, folks, we don't know where all our tithes and offerings are going. We don't know where all our prayers are going, but they're literally going all over the world. You don't know where all those books are going, Betsy. How many times have you blessed people with books and God led you? Andresa, how many people have CDs, used to have tapes, you know, but how many people have a CD from a service and they've told me, I can't remember all of them, but tell me to say thank you to you that you gave them a CD at the proper time. And oh, do you realize God's at work? Hallelujah. Praise be unto God. Hallelujah. And just look at you, all you've been through and here you are in church on Sunday night. My. Oh, Carlos, just think look what the Lord has done. Oh, praise God. Saved you, turned you around, filled you with the Holy Ghost, got you in Bible school, blessed your life. Thank God, thank God, thank God. Well, I could just go on and on. I just look at how God has touched so many lives. Thank God. It's the anointing. It's the anointing. It's not just our talent. It's not just our ability. It's the anointing of God that makes the difference. You know, some people say, well, I had a rough background. I had a rough family. It's amazing how many weeds grow up through concrete. It's amazing how many weeds grow up on the freeway between tire tracks. They didn't know they're not supposed to grow. How many exotic flowers come out of asphalt or come out of concrete? Even trees come out of concrete and crack the concrete because they didn't know they weren't. That tree didn't know it was not supposed to grow. Little bird dropped the seed and the seed said, I found me a home and I'm going to do what I do best. I'm going to grow. I don't care what trucks say. I don't care what cars say. I don't care what people say. Even if they cut off my top, I'm going to grow back again. Are you listening to me? God, I didn't mean to get into this like this, but God's talking to people tonight. Just look what the Lord has done. You're something special. No one has a fingerprint like you do. It's the anointing on you, in you, for you, and through you. And that's what I felt about this service tonight. He said, these signs shall follow them that believe. This is not just preacher promises. This is not just pastor, teachers, missionaries, or evangelists. This is believers. Oh, thank God. Just hold your hand and just say, there's healing in my hand. There's healing in my hand. I can't believe the Pentecostals that made fun of Oral Roberts when he said, God's power is in my right hand. What's in your right hand? Thank God the man used the anointing of God in his life to lay hands on people, to lay hands on the sick. I received a missionary letter. I get one quite often from down in Mexico area. And the brother just went on to be with the Lord, but his wife, I knew her in the greater Fort Worth area, and I knew him through Bible school. But you know, with her, she had tuberculosis in the last stages. Now, these are not things I heard about or things I think I know about, but Betty had, she had tuberculosis in the final stages. And Oral Roberts laid his hands on her in his tent revival here in Fort Worth. You say, well, did that revival help anybody? It helped her. And, of course, it helped all those that came forward on altar calls. And you say, well, it's just healing. Well, if you need healing, it's the most important thing in the world, right? And God completely touched her. That tuberculosis that was to be fatal dried up, and whatever it does, it disappeared. Praise God. And she's still living. and she's getting older than she used to be. But the power of God, and she's been on the missionary field with her husband. He just went home to be with the Lord a few months ago. Oh, that meeting was worth healing in her life. That meeting was, the power of the gospel. No wonder Paul said, I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. It's a good gospel. It's a healing gospel. It's a saving gospel. It's a helping gospel. It's a miracle gospel. It will give you a new start, a new chance. Oh, thank God. It will create what hell is trying to destroy. Thank God I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. It is the power of God unto salvation. So the anointing breaks every yoke. The anointing breaks every yoke. The yoke shall be destroyed because of the anointing. Hallelujah. Praise God. Thank God for the anointing. I was thinking in preparation for ministry tonight. God said, just release the anointing. You know, I was to preach a youth rally, and hadn't been preaching too long. And the night before I was supposed to preach it, I'll not call the location, they're not there any longer, but there were about 1,000 people there that night. And I was to preach, and I lost my voice. My voice completely left me. And I started to call and say, I can't preach tomorrow night. But I don't know, something in me just rose to the occasion. I said, God, I've got to have a miracle. I remember that night, I didn't say anything. I said, how you doing, Bob? I just smiled and shook my head. I was sitting on the platform, not a trace of a voice. And I'm saying, God, I just depend upon your miracle working power. Oh, God, I yield everything within me to you. And they announced me, and I got up. And I just in a whisper said, pray for me. And that group of people began to pray, and the power of God began to flow from the crown of my head to the soles of my feet. So help me, God. My voice came back full force right there on that platform, and I preached the rally that night. Hallelujah. 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 Oh, glory to God. Oh, my. I can show you the little upstairs garage apartment on Sylvania, which is one of our first residences after about a year after Joe and I were married, and I was in Bible college. I never will forget that night. Joe was sleeping. And I woke up, and the devil said, you'll never go anywhere from here. You'll never go anywhere from here. I mean, the most hopeless thing in the world. There was nowhere to go, nowhere to go, no open door. I was on the staff. I was doing that, and that was fine. But I mean, just like a spirit of hopelessness, you'll never go anywhere. Your ministry will never go anywhere. But you know, I don't have to recite to you some of the things you've seen and heard and watched. You know, I'm telling you, God's been an awesome God from that moment. 48, that'd be into the 50 years, 50 years plus ago in a little upstairs apartment. And I got up that night and we had about 5 Bibles between us. Joy had 2 Bibles, and I had, you know, like a King James, and I had, I think, an Amplified, and I had something else. And I just opened every one of those Bibles to one of those power promises of God. And I just stacked them up, and I just slid them under my side of the bed. And I said, God, I'm going to go to sleep and let the Word go to work for me. I'm going to sleep. I've caught myself doing that again. And again. And again. No. I tell you, thank God I slept like a baby, got up the next morning, and things have been different ever since that moment. Hallelujah. I'm here to tell you, when the devil says you can't, you can. When the devil said it will never be, it will be. If it's whatever God wills to be, you believe it, it will be. It will come to pass. Hallelujah. The anointing makes the difference. The anointing makes the difference. Brother Johnny, where are you? Praise God. The anointing makes the difference. I said the anointing of God makes the difference. Hallelujah. The anointing of God makes the difference. Praise the Lord. I'm just believing tonight that his hands are laid, that God's going to just do a supernatural mighty work in behalf of everyone in this room tonight. Thank you, Lord. Father God, we honor the blessed Holy Spirit of God in this room tonight. Lord, without you, we're less than nothing. I can do all things through Christ, which strengtheneth me. Holy Spirit, we just ask you to release and to anoint the power of God in this room tonight in a supernatural way. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Amen. Nothing is impossible. We've been playing Brother Rodney's song around the house a lot. Nothing is impossible. Nothing is impossible. Nothing is impossible with God. Hey, it's time to rejoice, church. It's not over. Hallelujah. The whistle hasn't blown. The referee hasn't called the game yet. Praise God. We still have opportunity. There's a world. There's no shortage on sinners. There's no shortage on sinners. They're everywhere. They're everywhere. You'll meet them tomorrow. You'll meet them in the restaurants. You'll meet them on the airplanes. You'll meet them in the bank. There's sinners everywhere. Praise God. The product that God told us to go after. There's no shortage on sinners. Praise God. Father, we just hold our hands out tonight. And I say in the name of Jesus that we will see our hand is more than our hand. That your word said they shall lay hands on the sick and they shall recover. Lord, our world's hurting tonight. Our world is burdened with habits and drugs and fear and wars and rumors of wars. We're entering a very intense political time now when we desperately need God in our nation. Father, I thank you that the power of God is in this room tonight. Hallelujah. I said the power of God is in this room tonight. Nothing is impossible. Nothing is impossible. Nothing is impossible with God. Nothing is impossible with you. Say it loud with me. Nothing is impossible. Nothing. Nothing is impossible. Nothing is impossible. Can you sing that chorus? Just sing it for a moment.
Nothing is impossible.